You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
After it all came to light and I put all the pieces together, then I remembered the, as we referred to, the incident. And I just, we cracked up. We laughed so hard. I mean, and I saw a side of him that was in that moment that he, because he always had this sort of carriage about himself and he was quiet and confident. But in this moment, we lost it. And I saw this giddy, we were both fools laughing our heads off.
Shakespeare said, "Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them." When Chadwick Boseman attended the British American Drama Academy, he studied the bard, both the tragedies and the comedies.
There was a talent show coming up, and it's sort of like end of the year talent show. And so we were at dinner in the Balliol College Hall with the long tables that we would sit at. And, you know, I got used to it over time. But at this point, there was a moment where I was sort of mid-bite and took a look up at the soaring architecture. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? He's like, I don't know, man. Let's just have some food. And so we were eating and just chatting about what we might be doing for the talent show. And we got to the dinner, through dinner, dessert came along. And I don't recall if we went up to get it or if it somehow arrived. I don't recall. But what I do remember is sitting directly across from him, we both had like a fruit tart. Maybe it had strawberry, kiwis, that kind of thing. And he was about to bite into it. And I sort of loudly proclaimed, I looked at it and I was like, ah, if you're going to have dessert, why waste it with fruit? And I was so emphatically mad because it should be in my brain, chocolate or caramel. What's a fruit? This is why? And it was louder than I anticipated it, and I was emphatic about it. And he took this bite and he snorted and he went, and as he did that, he spit this giant chunk of strawberry or fruit. I think it was strawberry, but directly in between my eyes, it splatted me in the head. And without missing a beat, I went, oh, see, Root is terrible at dessert. And we just took a moment and completely lost our minds, put our heads down on the table and just wept with laughter. And we could not control ourselves. And people around us were, are you guys all right? And we're like, this she got my hand and I spit on her. And it was so dumb. And so, and I hadn't thought about it until actually when I realized who he was on screen and I was like, oh my God, Black Panther spit on my head. No.
We've all been there. And if you haven't, you know someone who has. I remember laughing so hard at lunch in high school, I shot ramen out of my nose. I am sorry if I'm oversharing, but it burned. I didn't even know that was possible. It's refreshing to hear that one of the greatest superheroes could still fall victim to public faux pas. That he could be awkward and geeky before he ruled a kingdom. I like knowing my hero was just like me. Welcome to A Life Lived. I'm Stephanie Okupniak. Before he became Levi, or Chala, Chadwick Boseman was just a kid from Anderson, South Carolina, the youngest son of Leroy and Carolyn Boseman. Growing up, his family was tight-knit. His father worked in textiles, and his mother was a nurse. After school, Chadwick often went to his mother's office to do his homework. He watched her carefully navigate emergency procedures with deep breaths and steadfast accuracy. He attributed his trademark calmness to her and said he regularly tried to evoke her ability to navigate chaos. As a teenager, Bozeman was a natural athlete. He played baseball and basketball, and he took martial arts classes. His brother Kevin introduced him to the arts after he began performing with the Alvin Ailey Company as a dancer. Living in South Carolina, Bozeman faced racism regularly. Confederate flags on trucks, racial slurs in ice cream shops, and even trucks trying to run his family off the road. A friend from Chadwick's basketball team was shot and killed in what he described as a random act of violence. Chadwick collected the fear and grief he shared with his community and channeled it into writing a play about the incident. He called it Crossroads. Chadwick said it wasn't preemptive. He just felt compelled to let it out. He wanted to use his voice, so he began competing with the speech and debate team and continued to write plays. Though Chadwick was offered a basketball scholarship, his passion for the power of storytelling grew. He decided he wanted to pursue directing and attended Howard University in Washington, D.C.
He did mention that he was at Howard for directing. I didn't know about the playwriting, but he did. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was thinking more about directing, but I thought this is an opportunity I can't miss. So, you know, it didn't surprise me, but I was like, oh, I could see that. But because of that, the quiet confidence, that it didn't surprise me that that he was in the directing track, because he was also incredibly observant. Like he was always sort of taking things in from, it felt like to me, from sitting back and observing versus necessarily being in the fray. He would, when he needed to, he would step up and do the show, the work. But you know, it didn't surprise me that he was looking at directing.
At Howard, he was known for his unique style. Sitting on the steps of the Fine Arts Building, in bell bottoms, boots, and a mini afro, sometimes even with incense burning in it. He was often found with a Bible and an August Wilson play in his satchel. During his first year, his acting professor, actress Felicia Rashad, encouraged him to audition for the British American Drama Academy. At the time, Chadwick wasn't looking to act, and he didn't have the funds to take an immersive training class overseas. Miss Rashad wouldn't take no for an answer and encouraged him to audition. BADA professor Ian Woodridge remembers the audition process that looked at hundreds of hopeful actors across the country.
So I would have met Chadwick in the Black Box, you know, the studio theater at Howard, sometime in March 98. They would have come in, probably there would have been a meeting. This is the way we used to organize it, of all the people who were going to audition when I arrived. And I would talk to them about what I expected. And I would answer any questions they had about BADA and the summer school. Would each of them do a piece of Shakespeare? Then they would all leave the room and they would come in one at a time. Now, what did he do in that audition? I'm pretty sure, but I can't say this for certain, because you would see literally hundreds of students on an audition tour. But I'm pretty sure he did this Romeo monologue. He would have done a modern piece. I have no recollection what that was. And then he would have had to do a cold reading of a sonnet.
Chadwick was offered a place at BADA. In early summer, he packed a small bag and made his way to England. His classmate and friend, Jen Marin, remembers how alien it felt when she first arrived.
I remember walking into Balliol College and going, what am I doing here? This is astounding. And sort of just walking through history at this moment. And I I saw the great hall where we would eat, what I didn't know at the time, across from me. And I thought, and this was pre-Harry Potter. Balliol's, I think it was built, God, it was in Oxford, and I think it was built in, I want to say something like 1100 or some very long ago time. And I remember walking through, and I'm a big fan of history, and I got dropped off and I walked through this, you know, arched, beautifully arched doorway, and the flagstones had just been leveled and worn down over the millennia of feet trudging through that. And I remember coming through it thinking, who else has come across these flagstones in the thousands of years? Like, how did this little girl from Minnesota end up here? What am I doing? And it was a beautiful, and so I stepped in, it was kind of shaded through the archway, and I stepped in and it opened up onto the central lawn, and if angels could have, and harps could play, that's what would have happened in my head. The sun was shining down on this beautiful green lawn that was surrounded by all these ancient buildings, kind of in a, almost a sandstone color. And, you know, beautiful. And someone pointed me in the direction of my room, which was, you know, the windows were sort of smaller. And I walked in thinking my jaw was on the ground. And there were all these students milling about getting their places. And it was just, I thought, I am ensconced in, I'm literally walking through history.
They would arrive. It was a month long program. They would re-audition when they got there, and they would be divided up into groups of 15. There's 15 in that group.
And then we were, our names, either they were listed or they were read off, and we were separated into what would be our core group that we would then take classes. We had a class in modern Shakespeare, movement, audition technique. So there was a group of us, and we went from class to class to class. And so that's where I met him. I reference him as Chad because when I knew him, he was Chad. Between these sort of four groups, we would rotate between classes. So each group, so everybody had their sort of, and then we would also have our core teacher.
Bada was part fantasy and part boot camp.
And on day one, on the Monday, he would have been reading, you know, from whatever Shakespeare they were doing, and reading a bit of White Toccata for me, you know. So you couldn't afford to be, you know, looking at a script and, you know, just working out as you went along rather badly. So I would just get them to brush up their sight reading before they arrived. As far as I can remember, his sight reading was fine. I mean, you know, because I think Howard knew what they were doing. They had a good, strong faculty, and I think the students were always very supportive of each other.
As challenging as it was to get a place on the course, it could be even more challenging to afford it.
My family just did not have any money, but my great aunt was pretty adamant that I go. So she gifted me the time in Oxford, which was an amazing experience. I remember being a very sunny day. We happened to have lovely weather that summer. And we were sort of sitting on the lawn, and the group was sort of farther off, and we just got to chatting, and, you know, where did he come from? And I said, you know, I'm from Minnesota. And he said, oh yeah, I was in DC. And he, you know, I think I was just sort of talking about, I visited London a year in 1994 for the first time. And I was like, I found my people. And I never thought I'd get to go back. And, Chad and I were sitting, and we were sitting cross-legged, and I was like, I don't know how I ended up here, but I'm grateful for it. And he said, huh, you and me both. And I said, yeah, there's no way I could have gotten here except that my great aunt was really gracious to me to help me get here. And he said, yeah, I have a great aunt. Name's Denzel. And I kind of gave him a look like the only Denzel I knew of at the time was Denzel Washington. And he's like, yeah, that's the one. And I kind of did this look like, you what? And he's like, I the scholarship for some of us. And I said, oh, that's, and I didn't want to pry it. I was like, that's, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. He's like, oh, I wouldn't have gotten here without that. We wouldn't have had that opportunity to be in this place, in this program, without the generosity of someone else to help us. And I, that, because there was other people that I thought, I don't know if they have the same situation as, and nobody does, but I was the first time that we both kind of connected on that level of, yeah, we're really lucky to be here. And it was because of the graciousness of somebody else.
As intimidating as it was, Chadwick still found the fun with his actors in arms.
And I remember there was a place, I believe it was called the Turf Tavern, that was in Oxford, that we were all, you know, they said, check out the pub. It was this place where, like, you know, all of these, for hundreds of years, writers and poets and philosophers had all gone, and you could find, like, they had signed their names, they'd been written, so you could sort of prowl around the club and see, you know, things like, I'm looking for Shakespeare and things like that, but it was, it was an astounding city. We went hunting on the river, which was hilarious and great fun. We had that was the same day. I think we had people up from, I remember I had friends that came to visit from London. So we had, I feel like we had there was punting on the river, and then we ended up at having a pint at a pub. Like, we punted from one place to another, had a pint at a pub.
Chadwick never lost sight of his goal, to master the bard. Shakespeare was his Everest, and he was going to gain as much knowledge as possible.
We were learning the, we were all assigned with the sonnet, when in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries and look upon myself and curse my fate. I will end it there. But that was our sonnet that we, and I can't even remember the sonnet number, but that was the number we had to learn. And we all were tasked with learning it, but then basically making it our point of view, our person we were speaking to, or whatever we were doing, how to turn that. And I remember watching everybody, and everybody had a different take on it. And I remember Chad getting up to do his. And he had told me that he was more comfortable at the time in the modern section, and so the Shakespeare was a little bit daunting to him. And he got up, and it was just, I don't even recall exactly what his PO, who his person he was talking to, but it was, he had that grasp of that language. And I looked at him afterwards, and I was like, you're what are you talking about? You sound glorious in this piece. And he said, and he sort of shrugged and said, well, I've been working on it. And I said, well, it sounded glorious. And he was so specific in his choices, and it was clear and simple. And that was probably one of the things that he was best at doing, is that he made his intention so simple and clear.
I was teaching Beckett and Pinter. So I would have done plays like Waiting for Godot with him, and I would have done some of the Pinter short plays with him. But what was interesting, we did 4 days a week of classes, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. But on Wednesdays, we would have tutorials, which is one-on-one sessions where the student would bring work in. He was impressive, yes. He was young. He was very charming. He was quite witty. But I don't remember him as standing out within the ensemble particularly. But I do remember the one-on-one stuff that we had, because I think that's when he was maybe felt free to express himself in a way that perhaps within the ensemble. Bearing in mind that, you know, it's quite a culture shock to come all the way to Oxford and be in an Oxford college and live and, you know, spend a month there. So, I mean, I remember him being super diligent. Because I think because he was so young, you know, it was rather interesting to me. And this is why he sticks out in a way, is that you were supposed to bring in material from the playwrights that you were studying. So in other words, you take a Shakespeare piece to a Shakespeare tutorial, and you bring a piece of Pinter or a piece of Beckett to me. And he came in and he brought in this Romeo monologue. It's when he encounters her on the balcony, a soft what light through yonder window breaks. And the point I'm making is that for an 18-year-old, it was uncannily intelligent, perceptive, and kind of very charming, and not without wit. Because there are three points of focus in this speech. And he had got it worked out which parts of the speech were addressed to whomever. And that was pretty impressive for somebody who, you know, was relatively new to Shakespeare. I don't know how much he'd done at school. I don't even know where he was at school. But, you know, he had a kind of instinctive intelligence about Shakespeare, which, let's face it, is the ultimate test in a way. He was a great detective. He wanted to, you know, have answers from lots of different people.
Chadwick's performance stayed with Jen. But most of all, she remembers how humble he was.
He was particularly gifted, if I recall, in the modern class. I watched him do a Harold Pinter scene. He was so good. And I also remember thinking the man had the quietest confidence I've ever seen, in that he had a confidence, but he was so quiet about it. He never, and in fact, looking back, it does not surprise me that his life went in the way that it did. And I remember thinking at the time, I wish that I had that kind of confidence. It just wasn't ingrained in me. And he wasn't arrogant about it. It was just a quiet sense of self that kept him. It always seemed like he sort of just knew where he was going. He didn't make a big deal of it, but he just, quiet confidence is the way I would describe Chad.
The program ended with English acting royalty.
The whole program would come together when we would have master classes, and those, like, the master classes we had were, I mean, we had Alan Rickman come and talk to us. Like, Alan Rickman, what? And Derek Jacobi, and it was just amazing, these people.
When Chadwick returned, he refocused all of his energy into writing plays and performing. He worked in an African-American studies bookshop near campus. He gained inspiration from the authors and funneled it into his plays. He wrote hieroglyphic graffiti about gods in an urban setting and the impact they have on a contemporary family in Washington, D.C. After graduating from Howard University, Bozeman moved to New York, where he soon started teaching at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture and went on auditions. He and his friend Logan Coles started writing together after Coles got stuck on the third act of a script about a football player who was falsely accused of rape. They sharpened it over the course of 7 years, and though the film never got made, it served as a writing sample for the duo. Coles is still heading the production company they formed. Exception Content, shepherding new projects, including two films he and Bozeman co-wrote, and an interview in 2019. Bozeman says it was during this time he tailored his artistic manifesto. How do I break a barrier with this role? What can I bring to the table that's different? As an African-American artist, filmmaker, and actor, that is my goal every time, to answer these questions. Chadwick landed several gigs and TV shows. He became a series regular on the soap opera All My Children. He left the show after disagreeing with the writers over the portrayal of black stereotypes in his character's storyline. His big break came when he was cast as Jackie Robinson in the film 42. Despite initial doubts about his audition, his determination and dedication shone through, impressing the director and securing him the role.
Jackie Robinson, a black man in white baseball.
I knew that it could be a life-changing experience, and I knew that that it's just one of those things that everybody has a stake in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the responsibility is a great responsibility.
I had lost touch with a lot of our BATA compatriots, and including Chad. And I just, you know, apparently there was a group of people that had sort of stayed together. And when he hit, and I particularly remember seeing him for the first time at Jackie Robinson in 42, I kept watching the whole time thinking, he looks so much like somebody And I just didn't put it together that it was him, that I was like, that was the guy that I was sitting next to. And apparently there had been a huge, the group that had sort of stayed together, there was, they're like, he made it, he's doing it. You know, I had no clue. So for years of watching this glorious screen actor, it never occurred to me that it was this young man that I sat with and had a pint of.
Bozeman's commitment to his roles was evident in his portrayal of James Brown in Get On Up, where he trained extensively to master Brown's dance moves.
We're breaking new ground every day.
Chadwick attended a tribute concert for James Brown at the Hollywood Bowl in 2014. There, he would meet the love of his life. Ludwig Bozeman says when she first met Chadwick at the Hollywood Bowl, she kept it, in her words, professional, and remembers he was rather respectful as well. Through a few flirty interactions, they kept it low-key until eventually Chadwick leaned over and untied her shoe. It was then she realized he's definitely interested. A moment later, he apologized and got back down and retied her shoe. According to Ludward, the rest is history. His dedication extended to his portrayal of Black Panther in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The superhero part of it, the powers that a person has, like you, that's an important part of being a superhero, but we identify with the humanity. We identify with the fact that they have the same struggles that we have. You know, they have a mother and a father. So it's the backstory. It's who are they? Like, why does he respect his father so much? You know, and I think with us, what we had to do is ground it in an authenticity that is African. So we, you know, for me, it was like, well, I am Yoruba. So what is that particular
Your tradition? People came from the Yoruba people?
Yeah. So, or also found out that I'm Limba from Sierra Leone. So, like, what does that mean to me? And then how can I bring that to the film? And I think everybody across the board sort of did some sort of research on their characters in that way. You know, set design, wardrobe, you know, picking various different aspects of the continent that we love, because you can bring all of that into this place that's supposed to be fictitious. But the idea is that, you know, Wakanda is a place that everything sort of could have sort of come from because they've been around that long. So there's a dispersion throughout the continent. So you can pick from anything you love. Like I spoke of the Egyptian reference, you know, there are South African references, you know, references to the Dogon in Mali. So all of those were sort of like, you know, Ryan's research, my research, the designer's research, and everybody that played a character, you picked something that you loved, you know, and brought it to the film.
In 2016, Chadwick Boseman was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. He would undergo countless therapies, treatments, and surgeries, all in complete secrecy. The entire time he continued to work.
One, a two, a you know what to do. This be an empty world without the blues. I try to take that emptiness and fill it up with something.
Despite battling colon cancer, he continued to deliver powerful performances in films like Marshall, To Five Bloods, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I know how to play real music, not this jug band shit.
You call that playing music?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Ma Rainey, I thought, was tinged with genius. It really was. Because he had that boyish quality that he retained right to the end, as far as I could see. You know, very, very youthful. There was the boy within the man, you know. Hey!
Nothing about what kind of blood I got, what kind of heart I got beat here. Come on, come on.
Wonderful, we got that boy. Good session, Mom. We got ourselves a winner.
Bozeman's impact extended beyond his film roles. He was passionate about supporting young artists and talked about his legacy with his wife, whom he married before he passed away. The Chadwick A. Boseman Foundation was created to nurture future generations of artists and storytellers. Chadwick Boseman passed away on August 28th, 2020.
When he passed, then all of some people from BARDA reached out to me. They're like, can you believe that he's gone? And I said, what are you talking about? And they're like, Chadwick, he was in our class. And I went, and it was as if I was in a fun house at that moment. And all the mirrors sort of spun in my head. And I went, what? And I jumped up, and this is after watching 42. It's after watching Black Panther, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I flew to my photo albums, pulled them out, and started ripping through them. And I was like, it all came back to me. And there he was, sitting in these, I have glorious photos of him with the sun shining down on him, the Balliol behind us. And one of them particularly is a photo in which he's wearing a shirt with like a red pattern on it that looked like strawberries. And it was taken right after we were sitting on the lawn and he looked at me and said, these kind of remind you of strawberries. Do you need to duck? And he started laughing and I snapped that photo. And so I couldn't believe that it was the young man that I'd known. And we were sort of decompress and debrief after the end of the day and talk about things that we'd learned and things like that. So that was one of my favorite times when the sun was setting and the going down behind Balliol College and the casting beautiful sunlight. It was lovely. The entire program was something that I will never probably experience again. And we were so lucky. And to be able to witness how each person sort of took that information and what they did with it. And to know that Chadwick was able to make such an incredible life after that was what a gift he was to all of us. And it's I lost my mom and my dad to cancer. So I hate that disease. And I'm so sorry for anybody who's ever lost anyone to it. It's vicious. We can send people to the moon, but we have not yet figured out how to stop this particular disease. So when I heard that's what he was struggling with, it was just so sad. But what a gift he left us.
His spirit of resilience, his dedication and commitment to his craft and community continues to endure. His story is one of profound talent, unwavering determination, and a legacy and heart that inspires countless others. Next time on A Life Lived.
Well, they wanted her to be Blanche. She says, I already did that with Sue Ann. So that's why, the character of Rose Nyland is like 180 degrees or 360 degrees from Sue Ann Nivens. Absolutely. Because they definitely wanted her to be Blanche. Because Rue was a similar ditz on Maude next door, B. Arthur's friend next door. So they were initially cast. Rue was Rose and Betty was Blanche. And then they switched and they came up with Gold, as in Golden Girls.
This is an Audio Boom original production by Breaking Stereotypes. This podcast was presented and executive produced by me, Stephanie Okupniak. To listen to all podcasts of A Life Lived, you can follow us on podfollow.com/A Life Lived to link us to wherever you listen to podcasts. If there is an icon that you would like us to know more about, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle @_A Life Lived or A Life Lived Podcast. You can also email us at podcastalifelived@gmail.com. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.